Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Try to run. Try to hide. Well, you don't have to hide if you're the Eagles. Right now, you can just run.
Yeah.
Just run that football, Ruben Amar. Ruben, good morning.
Run it.
How are you, pal?
I'm great.
Good, man. So we got a lot of fills to get to today. James, this is one of those situations where there's so much happening. How do you fit it all in?
It's a great question, Jeff.
We have a major article with
major
quotes from Dave Dombrowski, excuse me, from John Middleton.
It's all we wanted. Thank you, John.
We haven't even been Yeah, we haven't even been able to get to it yet. We will. Obviously, a lot on the NFL trade deadline that went by yesterday with the Eagles doing nothing. Again, the Sixers with Joel suspended. Shil Kapadia will join us in about a minute. We do welcome Ruben Amar to the show this morning. Ruben, for the second time. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Big week.
Big week, man.
Yeah, I was excited about the Eagles, even though it was a little dicey.
Do you buy that they're definitely good?
They're definitely a good team.
I don't buy that they're definitely good. I think they are probably good. But if you notice, I say the word probably. I mean, I don't know, Ruben, if you heard this earlier. The four teams they beat in the last four games, combined record of 10-26.
Now, they're not playing great teams, but they're playing well enough to win in the NFL, which is important. I know that there was some question a couple years back as to how good they were because they were beating just okay teams. But, you know, they're super talented on offense. And the fact that they lost A.J. Brown and still played well and still did the things that they needed to do. Devontae Smith was ridiculous. And then, Saquon, just he's insane.
He's tremendous. All right, so look, the Eagles thing on the table, how good really are they? Do you tie in the evaluation of the team and what you think to the trade deadline? Like, part of why I guess I'm not that bothered that they didn't make a move at the trade deadline is I'm not convinced yet that they haven't convinced me yet. They might be good, might be really good, and maybe I'm wrong. But we'll see. All right, let's talk to Shil Kapadia. He joins us every single Wednesday morning. And, of course, Shil doing just tremendous work, working for The Ringer. You can follow him at Shil Kapadia on Twitter, and he joins us right now. Good morning, Shil.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy. So, Shil, let's just start with a broad question, and then we'll go specific on the game film. I know you've had a chance to review the last film since the Eagles played. So are you convinced that they're definitely good? And if so, do you think Howie messed up by not making a trade deadline move?
It depends how we define good. I think they're an above average team. I think they're in the mix in the NFC. You look at their record, 6-2, they've beaten the Packers. So I think they're definitely a good team. I don't know if they're a great team. I wouldn't pick them right now if you said, hey, give me one team that's going to come out of the NFC. So that's kind of how I view where they are right now. In terms of the trade deadline, I didn't see an obvious move that was made by another team where I say, oh, my gosh, the Eagles should have jumped on that. You know, I think the biggest area of need was probably pass rush, probably edge rusher, and a couple of those guys got moved, but they were veterans. They weren't, you know, necessarily needle movers. So if they would have made one of those moves, I would have said, okay, I understand. But I'm not crushing them for not making one of those.
And John, you disagree with that?
I would have liked, something similar. It seems like if guys are being pried loose from other teams, guys who have success getting quarterbacks on their backs for 6th and 7th round picks, why Why couldn't we go get one? I know that it feels like sitting around waiting for Huff to do anything is foolish.
Well, that's not going to work. I mean, Sheila, it strikes me historically that guys that get traded at the trade deadline are either old or about to be a free agent. And so there's a risk either way because, you know, if you draft a kid, fifth-round pick, let's just say, I mean, you get him for 5 years. And one of these guys at the trade deadline, a lot of times you only get him for 8 or 9 games. I mean, that to me is something to consider when you make a decision of whether to make a trade or not.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Is it a rental or is it somebody who's signed for the next 2 years, 3 years, or whatever? And then you look at that position of edge rusher. So say you bring someone in like Za'Darius Smith, you know, now are you sort of benching Nolan Smith? Are you taking snaps away from him? Is he a first-round pick who you feel like is developing and going in the right direction? So I understand all the factors there. Again, I was kind of on the fence with those moves at edge rusher. I think they could have made one, but I'm not killing them. I don't think that's going to be the difference on whether they, you know, get to the NFC Championship or beyond.
So, Sheila, let's talk about the Eagles' offense. Since that last game, you've had a chance to review the film. And not just that one game, but over the last couple here, what are you seeing different with the Eagles' offense? Obviously, it's clear they're running the ball a lot more. And how sustainable is it? And I'll just throw that. I know I'm throwing three questions at once at you, but I wonder how much longer it'll be until opposing defenses stack the box against the Eagles, just try to force the numbers to work against the Birds and force the Eagles to pass it more. Do you think that's coming soon?
Yeah, well, not only are they running the ball more, it is an extreme. If you look at the last 4 weeks here in the NFL since they had the bye, they are the most run-heavy team on early downs in the entire NFL. First and second down, no team in the NFL is running the football at a higher rate than the Eagles, and they're doing it really well. And so to your point, Joe, I think you're seeing them add in some layers, saying, all right, this is kind of the base, this is the foundation, this is the identity, but what can we have off of this? And so in this game, you saw them add the under center play action. They used that more in this game than they had in any game under Nick Sirianni since he became the head coach. So I think it's about continuing to add those layers. Yeah, I know it is. We've been calling for that, John, for what, 2 years, 3 years now? That sprinkle some of this in, and you saw some of that in this game. So I think you have to keep adding those layers for this to be sustainable.
So the wide receivers that we have other than Devontae, we've seen it be a problem when AJ goes down with injury. Right now, what do we have at our third wide receiver? Jahan Dotson, I still don't really know. We saw more Johnny Wilson, but we see him get out there and get penalized at times. Aeneas Smith, I know he's fast and we're using him sometimes, but it doesn't seem like he's making an impact. What's our third wide receiver situation?
Yeah, I think that, you know, all those guys have very different skill sets. You know, Jahan Dotson had the acrobatic catch. He's sort of a guy who's played more in the NFL, although he hasn't done much for the Eagles this season. Johnny Wilson in this game, as a blocker, like when they're throwing those screens to the perimeter, I mean, he pancaked the linebacker in this game.
Awesome.
And I actually saw some reps in this game where the ball didn't go his way, but he ran a couple of really nice routes in this game. So he's somebody I've got my eye on a little bit, and it seems like they like Anaya Smith as sort of that gadget guy. I haven't, you know, totally seen it with the jet sweeps and the screens and those types of things. So I think it's going to depend on the game plan, depending on kind of what they're calling, those types of things, because those are three very different wide receivers.
And Grant Calcaterra, while he's been stepping in for Goddard, how well has he done film study-wise? How good is he?
I like him as a pass catcher. I'm not telling you, you know, he's the next Rob Gronkowski or anything, but he can get open, he can win some one-on-ones, and he can pick up some yards after the catch. Now, the issue with Calcaterra is that he's a liability in the run game. I mean, he's getting blown up still on a lot of these run plays, so do you give the defense a little bit of a tell when he's out there at times? But listen, he's held up better than I thought he was going to hold up in terms of a backup tight end.
All right, hideous mustache.
Hey, Shield, final thing here, man, because it's the main thing. Hurts. How much better in the last couple games does he look to you than the first couple? And how much are you convinced that he's back or near back?
No, you know, I didn't think this game was as good as the Bengals game, kind of as close to as good as the Bengals game. I thought there were some ups and downs in this game. He's still throwing the ball downfield with great accuracy. I think the biggest issue with Jalen Hurts right now is kind of trusting it. When it's there, pulling the trigger, cutting it loose, and making the play that's kind of supposed to be there. You know, there are examples in this game where he's just turning down throws that I think most quarterbacks, I don't know if I should say most quarterbacks, the good quarterbacks in the NFL that Jalen Hurts is, you would expect them to kind of make those throws and not hold on to the football or go elsewhere with the football. So I think teams are going to continue to ask the Eagles, hey, are you willing to throw the football to the middle of the field? We're going to put safeties on the outside over your wide receivers. And is Jalen Hurts willing to make those throws? I think that's the big question with him here going forward. So this film for Hurts, for me, was not as good as the previous week against the Bengals. So it's been a little bit uneven, even though the numbers were very good.
That's very interesting. I that's certainly something I would not have known without hearing you say it. So, all right. Because, Shil, I do know, I mean, the one thing I did know for sure, he was late on the 4th-and-3 throw to AJ. If he throws that earlier and times it up better, that's an easy completion and a conversion, and then less criticism of Sirianni. He waited way too long to throw that one.
It's a great example, and that specifically, like, those are the kinds of things you're seeing maybe 5-6 times throughout the course of a game. Then I think if he gets those things cleaned up, then the offense could be really interesting.
All right, Shil, good stuff, bud. We'll talk to you next week. We appreciate you changing the time today as we juggled some stuff around. Shil, stay well and enjoy the games up ahead this weekend. Thanks, bud.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week.
You got it, man. Shil Kapadia. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up, more with Ruben plus AMA. All righty, AMA. We typically do it at 7 o'clock on Wednesday mornings. Moved it today. AMA, John, this morning.
Ask Me Anything, brought to you by Bush Auto Group. Shop a wide selection of Nissans, Infinities, and hundreds of pre-owned vehicles at bushautogroup.com. Philly rides with us.
All right, Seltzer, what do people want to know this fun morning?
All right, let's start off on the text line. If you could have dinner with one fictional character, who would it be and why?
Oh, for the love of God. Oh, John, you have an answer on this.
For you, I'm surprised you didn't go Jessica Rabbit. Isn't that your dream dinner?
Well, that would be more like movie and Back to My Place. No, Sorry.
And you actually thought she was a rabbit.
I got confused. I forgot that she married Roger, and that's how she became a rabbit, and she wasn't actually a rabbit. I got confused. Ruben, one time I got confused, and...
Just once?
Just one time in my whole life. All right, John, what is your answer? James, I might need to defer and answer this later in the show.
Old school
to
camera.
So what's the question? One fictional character who to have dinner with?
Yeah.
That's really hard.
That is
hard.
Wow.
I got to think.
I was a total
I'm going to think on that one.
I was
How about not Hannibal Lecter?
I had a lot of books in my life, especially a middle school kid when I had braces and I had like these feet. And I was like,
so who's
smaller
the person?
Than I was a tiny little. I remember the weight limit for football was 136.
Yep.
I was shorter than my mom, who was 5'6". I was less than 136 pounds, and I had these feet.
Okay,
and I could not run.
What does this have to do with the fictional character? I'm so confused.
Sorry, that was my mindset in middle school at this time.
How did you even get to that?
What does this have to do with a fictional character you can have dinner with?
Holden Caulfield.
There we go. We got there.
He was my comfort at that point in time.
There we go. I would not. He's the last person I'd want to have dinner with.
Holden Caulfield.
Well, at least he chose someone.
I know. James, I'll think about it.
It seemed like he was struggling with the world as badly as I was. At the time with my braces and everything else.
I got you.
We're reverting here on
Holy
AMA.
Mackerel. Go ahead, Sasha.
Joe used to answer questions. All right, this is from Fighter Jock on Twitter for John. John, who is the toughest guy you ever competed in an Oklahoma drill with?
That people you wouldn't expect. It's always people you wouldn't expect. Remember, no one remembers a middle linebacker named Greg Beekert, who played out for University of Colorado in college.
That.
No one remembers.
John,
let me ask you this question. It was always guys like that.
What's the highest grade or level of football that you did the Oklahoma drill? Like, you didn't do it against Jeremiah Trotter, right? That would have been your answer. Like, you guys didn't do that with the Eagles. Did you do that at Michigan and Stanford? Because otherwise, it would just be a high school kid.
I think we probably did it in college.
All right. But Andy Reid wasn't running the Oklahoma
drill. We were not doing it as an NFL thing. But we did. essentially, we did drills where you knew where you stacked up.
Okay.
The Oklahoma drill just tells you where you lie in the hierarchy of hitting. And every team knows that to some degree, you know, where everyone sort of sits on that.
Understood. James, let's do one more.
All right. From the text line, maybe you'll answer it. what is something everyone should do? What is something you recommend everyone should do before they die?
I'll give you one I did. I mean, I'm not saying it's the number one recommendation in the world, but I did this years ago, and I think it was a really cool thing. And some summer, I'd recommend you do it, especially with your kids if you have them. Hall of Fame trip. It was me, my uncle, two of my cousins, and two of my siblings. It was 1994. We went from here to Canton, Ohio, Pro Football Hall of Fame. We then went to Niagara Falls, a little in between Niagara Falls. Then went up to Toronto, Hockey Hall of Fame. Then went over to Cooperstown, Baseball Hall of Fame. Now, I don't know why we didn't do basketball. Maybe my uncle had to get back to work. I'm not sure. But we did three of the four Hall of Fames in about 6 days.
Hmm.
It was really cool.
Joe, it's crazy you said 94 because that's when I drove out. I got my first new car ever.
Yeah.
And literally got it. And the next day I got in and I drove right to Canton.
Did you? That's awesome.
94.
That's awesome. Now, Rhea, put your Philadelphia sports cap on here. Tell me what I experienced. And Ruben, you definitely should know this. What did I experience that hurt my heart in 1994? Let me put it this way. In Toronto.
Oh, well, I think, yeah.
I don't think that's too hard to put together there.
I stood in left field.
Yeah.
I went to a Toronto Blue Jays game.
I don't think that was too hard to figure that one out.
It was probably about 8-9 months
exactly
after
the
home
the
run.
Ball went.
I just stood there.
I wouldn't be able to have gone in there.
It was really tough.
Oh.
It was probably about 8 or 9 months after the World Series had ended. I stood in left field.
For years after that.
That was really hard.
I played there afterwards.
That had to be...
It was interesting.
Oh, Ruben. God, that thing still hurts my heart.
Gut-wrenching.
That's the... If there's one game, if there's one... I don't know, man. That and Rondé Barber, the two that hurt me the most. They just are. I mean, 0-1-6ers I loved, but I understood and expected that they'd lose to Shaq and Kobe. But, all right. And by the way, Blue Jays were a great team. With that great. AMA,
well,
let's...
hold up. What about John?
Oh, John, what do you... What would you...
It's unbelievable,
yeah, right,
isn't
he just completely, like, ignored you there. Like, you were not even part of the question.
I'm sorry.
Like, yeah. Oh, okay.
All right,
no,
John.
It's all right. Just...
This is not called Ask Joe anything. You know? Yeah,
right.
You wouldn't answer half of them anyway.
No, I wouldn't.
Exactly.
Do you have an answer, Jen?
Sure.
All right, what's your
something
answer?
Something you've never done. Clearly, I know you've never driven out west.
I will, though.
Drive by yourself, get in the car, and just go. And back then, this was before cell phones. That would be interesting without a cell phone. I don't recommend that at this stage.
Yeah.
But, man, what an adventure. You can make it such an adventure. It really does feel, sometimes when you're going through those mountains of Utah, it feels like you're on top of the world and you just wish someone was with you. You could show these vistas and then you realize, wow, maybe this is like the true peace. Maybe I'm glad no one's here with me seeing these vistas. It really is amazing. You got to do
it. Well, I will do that, but not by myself. I'll tell you that. I'm not going to be that bored. And with that, AMA, we shut it down. All right, so AMA, we'll turn it on you, and it's not asking you anything. It's asking you a specific question. Of course, you can join us on all the topics here today, 215-592-9494. So the trade deadline came and went yesterday in pro football. Eagles did squat-ta. Now, I'm not bothered by it. John is, I'd say, a little bothered by it, maybe a lot bothered. James, James, give me the argument, because let me give you the argument why I'm not bothered. I'm not convinced the Eagles are definitely really good. I am aware that they may be, but I'm certainly not convinced of it. I'm still ticked, I'll use that word, that they traded a third-round pick for Jahan Dotson. That is not working out, and that is not going to work out. And I recognize that I'm confused, and I would tend to think a lot of people are confused, and Howie might be one of them, on how good really the Eagles are. When you size up the last four games, the four teams the Eagles beat have a combined record of 10-26. So I want to believe they're really good, the Eagles, but I'm certainly not convinced of it when Cleveland's 2-7, the Giants are 2-7, Cincy's 4-5, and Jacksonville's 2-7. So, James, give me the argument, and everyone at 215-592-9494. It's a couple different things. It's, are you bothered about the trade deadline? And it's, what do you make of what the Eagles are in light of the last four games and what those wins represent? James, give me the argument why you're ticked.
Yeah, we just saw this happen. We literally just saw a mistake made at the trade deadline where the Phillies didn't do enough and it actually hurt them in the playoffs. Like, it was right in front of our eyes. It just happened. We're doing it again. And to your point about, oh, I don't know how good the Eagles are, there are no great teams in the NFL. Like, the Lions
maybe
are...
Maybe two. Maybe the Lions and Chiefs.
Are really good. They look really good.
No one's you
great,
say
man.
The Lions and
that's
Chiefs,
what I'm saying.
Man.
There's the no one great.
I said maybe the Lions.
That's my point, though. That's my point. Is we can't sit here and be like, there's no... They're the best team no matter what. You can't beat them. It is open. Yeah. This Eagles team is 6-2. They have a great record. They're heading for the playoffs. Like, make yourself better. And again, I said this before, especially when the price was so low. All they had to give up was a fifth and a sixth round pick. That was it. A fifth and a sixth. Are you kidding me? You're not going to give that up for a guy who can help you win a Super Bowl? That seems nonsensical to me.
Ruben, don't you love when James goes there with the
he
voice?
He was exciting. The octaves went higher. And yeah,
Devin, do you know that the Eagles are good?
No. I know that they're not bad. Right. I know that they're a pretty good team, and they've beaten mostly teams with losing records. I also know that they have a ton of young talent.
They did beat the Packers.
They did beat the Packers, especially the Packers aren't. I don't think the Packers are an elite team, though. I agree with James in that. I don't think there's truly a standout team, maybe aside from the Lions so far this season in the NFL. But you also look back at what the Eagles did at the trade deadline the last two seasons, and it hasn't worked out. They got Kevin Byard. That was a bust. They got Robert Quinn the season before that. That was a bust.
That was a fiasco.
Yeah, like maybe Howie just thought that staying put was the best method and to move forward, and he's just going to look to the draft. Like, I don't think it means that they're throwing the towel on the season. I also don't think it means that they don't think that they're contenders or the other way. You know, like, I'm just not reading too much into it. I would have liked to see them do a little bit more, but it's not something that's keeping me up at night.
Rhea, did Howie mess up yesterday?
I think he may have, which we won't know for a couple weeks. Here's the thing is, I'm not that upset because my expectations were low. Mm. When I heard Vic Fangio talk, I don't know, was it a week or so ago, like, he didn't want anybody, you know, at the trade deadline. And I felt like he didn't want to incorporate anybody because he feels like his defense is maybe gelling. But I think...
Well, they have so many young defensive players, too.
Yeah, but I think his whole thinking is that he didn't want to have to incorporate somebody new into it if they're starting to gel. But we won't really know, Joe, to your point, the competition they faced.
Oh, Drek.
We won't really know until they play the Commanders, the Rams, and the Ravens. There's a lot better competition, you know, coming along. So, it might be a mistake, but I think they kind of lean toward going with Fangio on this
one. All right, so look, there's a series of questions here kind of interconnected with the Eagles. One is, do you think Howie messed up? Does it bother you that he didn't make a trade? The other is, what do we really have with this football team, and how do you evaluate these four wins? I mean, you don't normally get four wins against teams with a combined
the team you're competing against,
they beat Jacksonville with an interception with less than a minute and a half to go in the game.
We dominated these teams for the most part in the way we felt about the game.
Last game against Jacksonville.
We're saying, man, our coach cost us. It could have been 37 to whatever.
No, I understand. I got you.
There, we distanced ourselves from these bad teams, which is the hallmark of good teams. And you don't see good teams do that all the time. You see good teams like the Kansas City Chiefs go down to the wire, take bad teams to overtime. That's what the Kansas City Chiefs have done. They're undefeated. They have been as meager and undefeated
team
as I've seen.
I agree with that.
I don't think they're unbeatable.
Also, just the last four wins, like you said, Washington's last four wins, the team you're directly competing against, the Giants, the Bears, the Panthers, and the Browns. So,
well, sure.
Yeah, and you beat bad teams. That's what you do when you face them.
No, like, you're right.
Yep. And the team you're directly competing against, their best win is Cincinnati.
Which is the Eagles' best win.
No, Green Bay is the Eagles' best win. Yeah, I'm just saying, I think that's another thing. There just aren't many good teams right now. There is a lot of bad football teams.
Well, here's an unfortunate reality. Washington may win the division because they just have an easier schedule. That happens.
But they're also
the Eagles don't have a real tough schedule
either. No, they don't. But the Eagles don't. I mean, let's say, put it this way. We know mathematically, based on last year, and things can be completely upside down. But we know Washington was handed an easier schedule with intent by the NFL. Now, whether that holds true to form, who knows? All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Where you stand on the Eagles? Are you bothered by the trade deadline situation? Are the Eagles definitely good? And put context into the four wins and what they represent for what the Eagles are. 215-592-9494. Rick in Easton right now. Plus, Ross Tucker will join us in about 5 minutes or so. Rick, good morning.
Great conversation. This is what opinions are all about. We're not going to know until this plays out. I wanted to see the Phillies add pieces back in June when they were still playing well because I didn't trust the Stars. But you know what? Let's not forget, guys and gals, that when you played the Clevelands and you played the Giants and you played the Jacksonvilles in that last part of that season last year, they lost those games. They're winning those games now. I think sometimes when you add pieces, especially in football, when you have so much synergy, it could...
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Be not such a great move.
Sometimes,
I think this Georgia defense, it took them a while with this new defensive coordinator. It looks like they're turning the corner. Can you imagine if this team keeps improving every week, the next 5 or 6 weeks, what this defense could
they
really
need
look
more
like
out of Jalen Carter?
No, they do. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what? Look at the offense. We all talk about their offensive line and all the weapons. You know what? I'm thinking, let them stand pat and let's see if this team can continue to move, can improve. Because you said it, Celts, there's not a lot of great teams. And right now, the Eagles look like they're in a very positive direction.
They do.
Sometimes paralysis by analysis takes over, and it's great conversation, but I just think, I hate this term, let's trust the process, and let's see where it takes this team.
All right, Rick, very interesting call. Everyone can react to that call, because that's a perspective you may agree or disagree with. I tend to agree with that. Like, I'm not bothered at all by them doing nothing to trade deadline. Doesn't faze me at all. At all. But I know a lot of people are cheesed about it.
Our pass rush is not good enough. We have to send our inside linebackers to generate the pressure that's adequate. And it's different. Maybe that's good enough. I don't feel like it is.
Well,
I don't feel like our edge scares anybody. I think Brandon Graham is our best edge. Yeah. And, you know, he's a great player. He's awesome. And he's destroying people this year, too. It's credit to him.
Yeah, no question.
But he's, you know, he's not a 15-sack guy. Right. He's not a 12-sack guy. He's not a double-digit sack guy.
He's not a 50-snap guy either.
Yeah,
by the way, for those that don't know, this was
a 36-year-old man.
This was astounding. Ruben, you may not know this. So Bryce Hoff, the $51 million player.
Correct.
6 snaps last game.
Is that good?
Apparently he was
6.
Hurt.
Is that a lot?
I know he was hurt. But here's where I take that thing about him being hurt with a grain of salt. John, you could speak to this much better than we could. Hand injury. Edge rusher, hand injury, six snaps. I don't buy.
Was he on the trade block?
Well, or is he just no good?
Well,
and they're trying to win
no,
a game.
I think he's no good. Yeah, but
it could be both. I mean, but
he's been non-existent.
Fangio did say he would be right back to his normal.
Which
number
is what 15 snaps.
I'm not defending Bryce Huff. I'm just saying in this instance, I think six. It's probably not six. Yeah, it's probably like 15 or 17 or
Vic
whatever.
Fangio's not making. He's not pretending to.
No,
not pretending that this guy's good. You know, like
no.
he's not keeping up any sort of false pretense.
Which I do appreciate.
I appreciate it too.
This isn't like we got to play Rager because we drafted him.
We paid him or we drafted him. It's one of my least favorite things in sports.
Totally. Out of the plan, which I think is admirable, but it does, it makes us notice the fact that we're paying this guy $15 million a year or whatever it is to do nothing. All he's right. not good enough, and we're still paying him.
All right, so your evaluation on the Eagles, 215-592-9494. Twitter poll question of the day is part of that as well. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs together. Let's drive ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, does it bother you that the Eagles did not make a trade before yesterday's NFL trade deadline? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and weigh in on the phone lines. By the way, when you weigh in, and this is a cool prize. I hope people know about this. We've been trying to alert you to this reality the last couple weeks. We've got in Philadelphia a championship boxer, literally a world champion. Boots Ennis is a champ. He's a welterweight. So obviously being a welterweight, not a heavyweight, it's not as big a deal. It's like, oh, we got the heavyweight champion of the world. But I mean, he is literally a champion of the world. He's from Philly, and he fights this weekend at the Wells Fargo Center. And I've only twice been to fights. They're very cool. I mean, if you've never been to a fight, it's a very cool experience. So you can go this weekend. We're giving away the tickets here today by the end of the program. By the way, you can purchase tickets as they are still on sale. WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com to see Boots Ennis Saturday night at the Wells Fargo Center. You can also win them here today on our program. Now, we got to go back 26 years to one of the better comedies and more notable comedy characters from the 1990s, and that would be Adam Sandler as the Waterboy. It was on this date, 1998, that outstanding movie, funny movie, came out. We ask you today at 215-592-9494 to win the Boots Ennis tickets and see him fight on Saturday night. The best scene ever in a movie that was a comedy. Comedy, scene, what do you got here? Whoever's, and I have no idea the best scene. I can think of 100 probably that are great. John, what is, I don't know if you're going haymaker or not.
This is tough.
What do you got here? Just a little taste.
Blades of Glory. I don't think you've seen Blades of Glory, have you?
I have not.
Blades of
Glory.
You
probably wouldn't like it if we're being honest.
I thought he was about to say Blazing Saddles when he started with Blades. Okay, Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory. Time for a little chazzle dazzle. There's a chase scene that is as laugh out loud as it gets where Will Ferrell is being chased by Will Arnett. And they're both on skates, and it's outside, and it's ridiculous.
Okay.
Really, really funny.
Devin, give me a scene from a comedy. Everyone, 215-592-9494. What do you got?
So this is one that I actually think about quite often, and it's in Austin Powers when he's trying to do the three-point, but it's like a 3 million-point turn in the tunnel that's really small, because I find myself in that situation quite often in parking garages.
I think about
a different scene from that movie.
Okay.
All the time.
Which one?
There's a urination scene.
That one comes up more, I feel like. Yeah,
you know, that wasn't going to be the one that I was going to go with, but I know what you're talking about.
I like the urination scene of Tom Hanks in A League of Their Own. All right, Seltzer.
Me too.
Oh, wow.
That's a good answer.
All right, James, give me a comedy scene.
You could pick like any scene from this movie, but I'll take the scene in Superbad where they're shooting up, where they let McLovin shoot the gun.
Yeah, that's a great movie. Rhea, what do you got here?
Birdcage, the scene between Robin Williams and Nathan Lane talking football. I use it all the time. Like if somebody, to find out if they're a fan, says, what did you think of that play? And I go, betrayed, bewildered, wrong answer.
There you go.
I just love it.
Ruben, what's the scene from a comedy?
I got one, the soliloquy or the monologue by Vince Vaughn. In Wedding Crashers at the very beginning.
Oh my gosh, what an answer.
So I thought when you said him in soliloquy, I thought you were going to say in Swingers.
He's got
when he's trying to pump up John Favreau.
He's got a couple of them,
well.
but that one Wedding Crashers, I actually refer to that all the time.
When
I mean,
he's talking about dating and
that's
like,
great. Well,
you're a big bear,
hug and all that stuff.
Yeah,
uncomfortable,
yeah.
You know, right out of the shoot.
All right, so there are so many tremendous answers. A comedy scene. We're talking only movies. Best movie comedy scene ever. What is it? 215-592-9494. You can win the Boots Ennis tickets. Let's also talk to Ross Tucker right now, as Ross joins us every single Wednesday at this time. An awful lot going on in the Philadelphia sports scene. Ross, good morning, sir.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good, buddy. You know, Ross, we're so busy here. We haven't even mentioned this hour that Joel Embiid was suspended for three games yesterday. I just want to drop that in. Like, that's on the table as well. All right, so Ross, the Eagles. Are you convinced that they're definitely good?
Yes, they are definitely a good team. I'm not convinced they are a great team, but they are definitely a good team. We talked about it a little bit last week, but I mean, they're top five clearly at running back, wide receiver, offensive line. The quarterback has played much better as of late. They should get a top five tight end back soon. But maybe the most encouraging thing is they are clearly getting better on defense. And Cooper DeJean has had a major impact on that side of the ball. The linebackers play better. I would say they're a good team that's trending towards being a very good team. And because of the youth and because of the talent and because I think – they're starting to pick up Kellen Moore and Fangio's system more and more each week. I'm highly encouraged and excited about the rest of the season.
So, Ross, I so totally hope you're right, and you might be. I will say this. At 2-2, I said to myself, might have said it on the air, I know I said it to myself, be careful getting sucked in if they rattle off wins against these bum teams. And I looked it up this morning, Ross, because let me be clear, I am excited. Like, I'm a lot more excited than a month ago, obviously. And specifically than a week ago. I thought the Eagles played actually a really good game against Jacksonville. It got closer than it should have. But I thought for the most part, I thought the Eagles whooped up on Jacksonville. I mean, both sides of the ball, I thought generally played much better than Jacksonville. But I also know this, Ross. The four teams they just beat, combined record of 10-26. Now, if you take out the four games against the Eagles, combined record of 10-22. And that makes me have pause on the Birds until I see them do it. You know, I know James is going to point out they beat Green Bay, and they did. But, I mean, Russ, I think these last four teams, I think three of the four of them are three of the five worst teams in pro football.
Well, and that's fine. But you said earlier, I can't remember who talked about who the Commanders just beat in their last four games.
But I'm not saying they're definitely good.
No, but
two of these teams are probably going to make – both of them probably going to make the playoffs.
Well – somebody has to be good. I mean, there's no like juggernaut teams, but you know, if I'm like looking at my power rankings, I have them both in the top six. The Ravens, I think, are really good. They just lost to the Browns a couple weeks ago. The Bills, I think, are really good. They barely beat the 2-win Dolphins. They were fortunate on Sunday. I mean, this is the NFL. You know, teams lose to bad teams.
Sure.
The fact that they're winning, and in particular that they won convincingly like they did against the Giants and the Bengals, is very encouraging.
Yeah. But, Ross, how does it make you feel when people like Dan Orlovsky say things like, no coach takes more points off the board than Nick Sirianni? What do you make of that? Is Nick trying to do too much and as a result making the team worse?
Well, so first of all, I did not agree with multiple decisions that Sirianni made. The two that jump out to me the most, when it's 16-0, and maybe I'm just conservative or I'm old school, you got to go up by three scores. You got to kick the extra point and go up by three scores. That's just my belief. Now, listen, I've talked to multiple analytics people since then. They say, no, it's too early in the game. The tush-push is 90%. You're at the one-yard line. You get the extra point, blah, blah, blah. You know, he made whatever it was, four or five decisions, and none of them worked, right? So because none of them worked and we all have hindsight, we can be critical of them. I don't know what we would say if a couple of them worked. The one that really bothered me is, here's how I would look at it. The first two two-point conversions, he does the tush-push. and maybe he's overconfident with it and he tries it. But then what bothers me is they had fourth and inches, and it was like he got spooked by the other tush pushes not working. I was so frustrated by the play action pass. I can't remember exactly where that was.
But isn't that a Kellen Moore thing, Ross? I mean, unless Sirianni overruled
him. That's a good question.
Right?
That's a good question. Really good question, Joe. That I don't know the answer to. We don't know the answer to. I would say this. I think Sirianni absolutely could say to Kellen Moore, hey, let's stay away from the tush push here, or hey, let's run it here. I think Sirianni has some input on what Kellen decides to call there. Now, it very easily could have been wide open with Saquon in the flat. The Jags could have totally not been ready for it. I loved when they lined up for the one tush push and they ran that short side option. Somebody false started. Yeah, that speed option was awesome.
Oh, that was
so a great change.
And it was going to work.
Oh, it was going to work big time. So I like that they have change ups off of it. Here's what I would say. Two things, Joe. One is a lot of people just don't like Sirianni at this point.
That's totally true. No question.
So anytime he makes any decision doesn't work, they're going to be critical of him. What people would tell you is the math was fine on all four or five, however many decisions we're talking about. Mm-hmm. The math was fine on all of them. And like Ruben could talk to you about baseball over the course of a long season, the math is going to even out. It's just, you know, if they're going to get 50% of those over 100 tries, they didn't get any of them in the same game. You know what how I look at it? Mm. Thank goodness they still won the game.
No question.
They had the variance of they didn't convert one of those, and they still won.
Well, that's my point.
That's good.
Well, that's my point where I really thought the Eagles on both offense and defense dramatically outplayed Jacksonville. Now, I'm not saying that's a heroic thing because Jacksonville is like dog meat, but you know,
well, the Saquon fumble, Joe, changed
that. Which wasn't even a fumble. I mean, it's not. It's handing.
Maddening.
Russ, Russ, James and I were talking earlier. I think that is the worst call I've seen. This is me. James thinks it's the worst call since Devontae in the Super Bowl when they took away the catch. I mean, I could see how they could arrive at that. I thought it was totally the wrong call, but I mean, at least it was a little bit debatable. I think it was the worst call in Philadelphia sports since that game like 6 years ago or 5 years ago when three Eagles fell on a fumble in Dallas. But because the NFL couldn't determine which specific player
recovery
had the ball,
it was insane.
Russ, there was only three Eagles and zero Cowboys, and somehow Dallas was awarded the football.
But here's my favorite.
That was outrageous.
Well, that was crazy. That here's my favorite, though.
Crazy.
I'm 45 years old, okay? I have never once heard a guy goes down after getting hit by a defender.
No question.
I have never heard them. So I'm okay with them getting a call wrong. But then after the game, they asked some guy who I'd never heard of at the NFL, and he said, well, yes, there was contact from the linebacker, but then he hit his own guy, so he stumbled and he wasn't down. So do you mean to tell me, for the rest of the sport of football, if a defender hits you and then you run into your own guy and go down, you're not really down? Because we just changed the whole sport of football.
Oh, no question.
If a defender hits you, try to find one of your teammates as you're falling down.
Touch him. Just touch him.
And just touch Landon Anderson's
leg. You're
and then
immune.
Get back up and go for an 80-yard touchdown.
Yep.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Yeah. I can't stand when people make a mistake in life and they don't just admit it.
Yeah.
Just say you got it wrong. You got it wrong. We all know you got it wrong. Admit you got it wrong.
Ruben, let me ask you this question because you've been in this spot in baseball, and I don't think there's as many of these in baseball as there is in football. But when you go to the league and say your ump got it wrong,
I mean, I didn't do it that much. Every once in a while, I made very few phone calls to the league because. As far as umpires are concerned, I know a lot of people complained all the time, and I think they sort of respected me for the fact that I didn't do that. And I know they're human beings; they make mistakes. That back then they didn't have as much replay,
right?
And so
and no review, which is why I'm asking. It wouldn't be as interesting to a GM now because now there's replay in the game, and But presumably, it's gotten right.
But if,
well,
it, was, but if it was egregious,
cases, the review. Yeah.
If it is egregious, I would make a phone call and say, this just can't happen. You got to be better. And this is going to affect the baseball, you know, the outcome of the game.
When it, well, when it's Joe, affecting can I say the, something?
You know, sure, Ross, go ahead, bud.
So, listen, I literally talked to a GM yesterday who had a conversation with the officials, with the league office on Monday, and they admitted they got a couple calls wrong, which helps nobody.
No.
I mean, you know, they used to, I remember a couple times, John could probably speak to this, where, you know, on Monday the coaches say, hey, we submitted that to the league for you. I'm like, okay. And then Wednesday or Thursday, the O-line coach would say, hey, Tuck, you know, the league said they were wrong and that shouldn't have been a hold. That actually makes me feel worse. Doesn't make me feel better. Like, when the 80,000 people in the stadium, everybody watching on TV, and my mom hear them call my name for a holding penalty, and I'm not allowed to say anything when they tell me Wednesday or Thursday, because you're not allowed, it's illegal. You can get fined if you then say to the media they got it wrong.
Sure.
It doesn't even make me – I guess I'm happy that they admit that they were wrong.
Yeah.
But I stopped our scoring drive.
It almost makes me feel bad. It almost makes me feel worse.
But, Ross, here's what I'll say, is we're getting deep in the weeds on that topic, and it's interesting. But here is my point in bringing it up. I was impressed by how the Eagles played. I mean, the fact that the game got close, really close, to me was two things. Non-conversions when Sirianni took chances, whether it's converting a field goal, converting a fourth down, like, you know, converting a two-point conversion.
Well, push failure.
Well, for sure. And just giving the other team 7 points. And when I say giving, I don't mean the Eagles. I mean the league.
Officiating failure.
Well, that's my point. Yeah. The league hand, like, Ross, I thought the Eagles dramatically outplayed them. So I was actually very encouraged.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.